Okay, so yesterday we had, did I not bring my, anyways, we had dealt with, right, we started laying out the different ways in which things can be invalid letters, and we started reading the Rav piece to analyze some of these, right, things that are local, right, psulim, and things which are, right, universal problems in writing. But to fill out the picture, we need to then move to the very well-known halacha that at least half of you thought wasn't real, it was just what we do in shul, but now you see, no, it's real, which is that if you're up there in the middle of an aliyah, and suddenly the aliyah stops, and a bunch of rabbis huddle over the Sefer Torah, and then, after in the middle of a very deep and intense looking halakhic conversation, they call up a 5-year-old, right, to be machria, because the 5-year-old can paskin hit and not the rabbi, right. And you wonder where did that come from. The answer is it comes from our Gemara.
Bring in the 5-year-old.
Judaism.
Yes. What?
When you make it sound like that, it sounds like...
Well, that's why everyone thinks this is like, you know, voodoo, but like, it's not. It actually makes sense. So the Gemara, let's just reread the Gemara and just remind, you know, ground ourselves here. Maybe helpful actually if we read the Gemara once through from the beginning to the end again. Okay, let's just do this one more time and remind ourselves where we are. We're going to next to go Mukav Vil, so just remind the whole flow. So, remember, so this all came up because the Gemara had said that a single letter in the tefillin, though this spills over into Torah, will prevent you from fulfilling your obligation. The Gemara said, "Pshita, that is obvious, because if you're missing a letter, you're missing a letter, so right, why is that novel?" So, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Lo Nitzrecha Ela Kotza Shel Yud, which we dealt with extensively. It's talking about the Kotza Shel Yud, whatever that means. But we'll come back to the question that we dealt with very briefly yesterday, which is the crowns. It seems like the Rambam's position that the crowns are not ma'akev, which I was talking about with Gavi before. It is right. The halacha I read is from Tfilin, but he says the exact same thing several prakim later about Sefer Torah. That seems to be, as Rabbi Ovadia notes, based on this sugya, which is if he holds like Rashi. If Rambam holds like Rashi, namely that Kotza Shel Yud is missing part of the letter, that means that anything short of like missing part of the letter, like any of the little fancy schmancy things that make it look nicer, right, are not ma'akev. The only thing that will prevent the letter from being a letter is missing part of the letter. The Gemara says, "Nami pshita, even if you're missing Kotza Shel Yud, that is obvious." Elok either chav yudam arav, dam yudam arav, and this is what we'll deal with next week. Kol och ein gvil mukafla me'arba ruchuteha. Any letter that doesn't have parchment around it on four sides, psula, it's invalid. And Amar Ashian Bar Nidmach Mishmeder of Yehuda, Ashian Bar Nidmach Sender Yehuda, the Nikev Tocho Shel Hay, if the inside of the hay has a hole in it, Kasher, it is still valid, Yerecho, but its leg, Pasul. And Amar Abizera, the Didi Mufarsha, Mineder of Yehuna, Verbi Yaakov, Amar Lidim Farsha, Mineder of Yehuda. Nikev tocho shalei, the inside of the hay, if you got a hole, it is kasher yerecho, the leg of it, im nishtayer bo kishir o ktana, if it has left over the size of a small letter, it is valid. The imlav fasul, and if not, it is invalid. And igra chamua derbi abba, ifsika lekara dehe, dehaam binikva, the leg of the hay in the word ha'am had a hole in it, and also gemedirei abba amar leim b'shtarbo kishiro k'tana kasher v'imla pasul. If the size of a letter is left, then it is kasher. If not, it is invalid. Now, until this point in the Gemara, all the invalidations, some of which we've dealt with, some of which we haven't, we'll see how many we actually deal with. Because I feel like if I go through every single potential psul in every letter, you guys are going to kill me. Or I might kill myself, I don't know. So we won't go through all of them. I want you to sort of just understand the
general. I mean,
go
fun cheer.
What?
It'd be a fun cheer.
No, because it would end in really murder? Bad. I don't understand.
No, it'd be exciting. No.
But if that's what you
not
mean.
Not that part.
Oh, not that part.
Not that part. The sheer part. Yeah.
No.
Oh, no, the murder would definitely not be the fun part.
Okay, maybe double check.
Just being clear out there.
Really?
For recording.
Yeah.
People are going to listen to this. And be like, what goes on in that shit?
Anyways, so he says, But all of these are talking about the tzura, the form of the letter, right? All different ways that the letter could be invalid, right? Whether it be a hole in the letter, it be a missing part of the letter, it be the parchment around it, missing, hole in the letter, etc. But then the Gemara launches into this discussion that Rami Bar Tamre, Davi Chamud, Rami Bar Dikule, right? Rami Bar Tamre, who was the father-in-law of Rami Bar Dikule, there was a hole in the vav in vayaharog. Bring a child who's neither too smart nor too stupid. If he reads it vayaharog, it's fine. If he reads it yahareg, that means and God is killed. By all bechors.
Sounds like a big problem.
Yes, it's, you know, it's like, what is the classic heretical mistake that happens in tefillin every so often? A very similar type of mistake. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Acher.
Whoa.
Right? Right? It's a very easy mistake to make, Dalet to Reish, but the difference between God is one and God is
other,
right, is, you know,
a little
big.
Yeah. A little big.
What?
I know.
Fine.
Funny.
It is a bad mistake to make. Don't do this.
Yes.
Don't do. Okay? If we can get you a big sign, you know? Like we just
don't do this.
Yes, exactly. Whatever you need. Big red circle with a red line through it, okay? Sure.
But then you can't see it.
Good. Go right on your hand. Okay? Fine. So, the continuation of the piece that we were in the middle of the Rav is really focusing on this question, which is, okay, we've started talking about these invalidations in the Tzura, and then we seem to move to readability. And the fundamental question we need to ask is, how do you deal with all these different form-based invalidations, right? Holes in letters, missing parts of letter, there not being enough left to the letter of a small letter, whatever that means, all those things. How does that relate to this readability question? Because, right, these can go in both directions. Can you have something that's missing part of a letter and still readable? Yes, right, as we've already proven, right? You guys are fully capable of reading letters that are not there, right, that are
backwards or broken.
Correct. Right, that are in the, you know, whatever, right? We all know that you can make out what a letter is supposed to be if I just sort of trace random parts of the silhouette of the letter, right? Your eyes can connect it, your mind can trick you, and as if the letter's actually there, right? We all know all these optical illusions, right, that are based on, right, using whites and blacks such that, you know, you can see all types of different things at the same time, and then they become, like, you know, huge things on the internet. Which one did you see? Which one did you hear? Right, all the, right? We all know that this can, that this happens.
It's white,
right?
And gold.
What?
It's white and gold.
It's black and blue. It's white and gold. It's blue and gold. It's, yeah. That's my point. That.
Objectively wrong.
That.
I think there are two different pictures.
It was neither.
It's that. You know, it's the same with the audio ones, right? Yanni, Laurel, whatever. Right, all that stuff. Right, so we all know that your eyes, your ears can play tricks on you. So the question is, what is the relationship between these two? So, conceptually, give me the options. Hey.
One is that if you could... Well, we already said one that if you could read it, but it's not there.
Okay, how do we square it, right? Meaning, if we have these principles, right? So, what are the ways in which they might be related to each other? Conceptually, before we even write... I won't make you put a name to it. Conceptually, how might these be linked?
That if a child could still read it, but it's not there, like... Whatever, it's not like...
You're not...
missing pieces, like...
And therefore, how do these rules work together?
Oh, well...
That's what I'm asking you.
Oh, what would you...
Will they be able to read it if they fall?
Like, what letters
would,
are you?
What would the halakha be?
No, it's an optical illusion. There's four there and three there.
I'm glad that.
Yeah, that was definitely.
Yes, I'm glad that drawing optical illusions how you understand this thing. Yeah, okay, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Good.
Repeat the question.
I see how you did it.
Right, so we have two principles here. Right, the first half of the Gemara lists all of these invalidations that have to do seemingly with the form of the letter. Right. what's it missing? Right leg, left leg, hole, this, that, right? And how much of the letter is left, right? The amount of a small letter, whatever that means, etc. And then the Gemara says, oh, and if you're not sure if something's kosher, bring a little kid, let him look at it, and if he can read it, it's good, right? So what is the connection between these two principles?
To write it properly can make it look like another letter.
So one is just saying they're the same thing. Right? Is what Dov is saying, right? Right. One possibility is that these are two sides of the same coin. Right, which is there's an assumption that if something is readable, it's because it's written properly. And if it's written improperly, it is not readable. And sometimes how do you figure out whether something has been written properly? By testing its readability. Why do I need a little child?
Because he doesn't know what
to piece things together or base it off.
Correct, because we don't want that optical illusion, right? We don't want the reason that people who are capable of reading can look at a word and understand what the word says from the first letter and the last letter, right? Regardless of what's in the middle, is because we know how to read. Our brain is already processing the meaning, regardless of what's actually in front of us on the page. But a little kid is not like this, right? We all know that. This is why it is very rare. It's very rare and very impressive when this happens for a bar mitzvah boy to catch a mistake in the Torah, because most bar mitzvah boys. Many bar mitzvah boys, maybe not most, many bar mitzvah boys, you are not yotzei with their kriyas haTorah because they are not reading, they are reciting by heart. You're not yotzei, right? They've memorized it, they're not really looking at the words, right? You could give them pretty much any sefer Torah and they'd basically say the same thing, right? You can't do that. Right, that's why it's very rare. Every so often, I remember one of my teachers once said that he was at a bar mitzvah and the bar mitzvah boy kept reading the wrong word and everyone kept correcting him. And then they finally went up and he said, no, he was actually doing what you're supposed to do. It's despite the fact that he knew the parsha really well, he was reading what was in front of him and there was a mistake in the Torah, right? But you don't want somebody who's going to go to the word of Vayaharog and say, yeah, that looks like Vayaharog, but God can't be killed. That must say Vayaharog. Right? You don't want that because then, right, you're not actually telling me what the Torah says. So one possibility is simply what Dov said, which these are two sides of the same coin. Right? Whether a letter is written and whether it's readable, right? They're the same. Why? Sometimes, right, an adult is not a good judge of whether it's actually written properly because, right, they're not going to be honest in that, right? Their mind is going to offer interpretation such that, right, there will be an optical illusion, just like, you know, these 3 or 4 or 78 stairs or however many stairs are on his search sheet. How many stairs are there in his search sheet?
One is 3, 1 is 4/3.
There you go. 4/3. So Vav slash Yud. Okay? Vav slash Yud, optical illusion. Okay? Now, who says what Dov says? Who says that really there is one principle, they're all the same? The Urayim. Shin Sadi Tet is the number in the Urayim. Right? Section 399. The Urayim.
I was trying to read that.
The Urayim. Who is the Urayim?
I didn't look this one up because I didn't think.
No.
Yaakov?
No.
Probably doesn't start with any words.
Okay, let's start. Is he medieval? Is he modern?
Sounds like a medieval.
Good, he's medieval. Is he Sephardi or Ashkenazi?
Sounds Sephardi.
He's Ashkenazi. Very good, though. Why don't you look it up? You didn't do it during Seder, you do it now.
Because I didn't know the name. Like, I didn't. I thought that was the last name.
He's from...
Yes, Urayim Shatz.
I don't know names.
That name just doesn't flow off of...
I know, that's why I was confused.
Oh, he's from Germany.
Thank you.
Well, how'd you...
I'm still against that.
But you did that very convincingly. He is indeed from Germany. Very good.
What is it not coming up? Germany or France that almost...
What is it not coming up?
Unless the Iran. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's getting France or like... Okay, I typed the like name in Hebrew and I got a Hebrew Wikipedia.
Egypt, Spain, yeah. Morocco.
I also didn't.
Oh, Rabbi Eliezer ben Shmuel.
Thank you.
It's only one of those two.
God. From where?
I was actually close with that.
From Metz.
Metz.
He's from Metz. Right? Okay, good. Born 1115, died in 1175. What? Germany. Mainz.
Good job.
Thank you.
Okay. You guys know anything about medieval Jewish history, modern Jewish history?
No, modern Jewish history. Like modern.
Like, what were the major German communities? The Kilat Shom. Ever heard of the Kilat Shom? Shom. What does Shom stand for? Shom.
Metz is the last one.
Thank you. Metz is the last one. Mainz. The other were?
Berlin.
Spire. Spire. Shin. And the Vav is? Vermisha in Hebrew, which is worms. Thank you.
I said
spire worms.
No, I actually did say worms.
Yay! So he's from Metz, and he writes, the Urayim writes, and I apologize for how this is. For some reason, my Bar-Ilan just didn't want to let me copy it, so I had to screenshot it. So if you look at the last two lines, after he quotes our Gemara, actually, just look at the last line. He quotes our entire Gemara, and then he has in the very last line, he says, Perush ok tanakmo yud, dibehachi karla yinuka delochachim lo tibesh kademeikara. There needs to be enough of the letter left over so that a child can read it. I mean, he thinks this question of how much of the letter is left over is just another way of saying readability, and readability is just saying that there's enough of the letter left over. These are the same thing, right? So, Urayim slash Dov. Okay? Good. How else might one understand it?
Like, they're two separate
things. They're two separate things. Good. In what way might they be two separate things?
That you either need the leftover, like the enough of the Os Katana, or you need, like, a Katana to read it.
Here, let's look. Skip for a moment to 4, to the Me'iri. We'll come back to 2, to the Mordechai in a minute, but look at the Me'iri. Right, the Me'iri is probably the clearest in his division, which is not surprising because the Me'iri is always clear. By the way, what is the Me'iri's name?
Menachem ben Shlomo.
Menachem, very good. Menachem, why is he called Me'iri?
Because he's from Me'iri.
No, because his family isn't the Mishpachat Me'iri. Why is the family called Me'iri? Because where is he from? They're from Provence. And what did I already tell you about Provence?
France, yeah.
Yes, but specifically Provence, southern France. What did I tell you about Provence? What does everybody's name have to do with in light? Thank you. Because the main two cities are? By the end, you'll know this.
By the what?
Because the main two cities where Jews lived in were Narbonne and Lunel, which mean?
Sun and moon.
Very good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Narbonne is sun. Lunel is definitely moon.
Yeah.
Right? Is definitely moon. Yeah. Right? We already said this. Remember when we said who's the one major Rishon in Provence who doesn't live in Lunel or?
The guy that lives in his own estate.
Yeah, who was? The Rivet of Poskieres.
Right.
Thank you. And some of them who live in Montpellier. Yes, fine. Good, so the Me'iri is super, super clear. He's awesome. We love the Me'iri. We do. He's the secondary influence for my son's name, Meir, right, after Marami Rutenberg. But I had to get the Me'iri in, so Me'iri do, right? Nachum finds this hysterical. You know that Meir actually has his own, like, 4-volume set of the Shu't Marami Rutenberg.
I'm not
my
surprised.
6-year-old. Yeah, my in-laws got it for him when he was like 2. Right?
At all, while I was in his 3.
No, I don't think he has any idea that it's. No, I told him once that it is his, and he's very excited that it's his on the shelf. But no, we're still at Chumash and Mishnayot.
Do you get them like books of shas for their birthday?
Not at a birthday. We just got him. Meaning he has the Talmud Yisraeli, which is the kids shas that they have in Israel. The kids Daf Yomi shas.
That's pretty cool.
It's great stuff. Yeah, it's great.
Cool.
It's great. We've read a little bit of it, but more like. But mostly right now we're learning Chumash. Like, you know, I went through the stories in Tanakh, but right now he knows how to read, so we're actually. Yeah, I mean, he has homework. Well, he has homework every day.
How old is he?
He has Shinun every day. 6.
Me and my brother.
Yes.
Oh my god.
My 6-year old, yeah.
Does he speak like a...
I mean, my six-year-old went to school in America. Well, Canada. Right. Right before we came back. But, yeah.
Where do you go?
What?
Where do you go from?
It's Klein. I don't say it's Klein. Many generations. Ora's great grandmother went to Eitz Chaim.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, four generations.
That is a lot of generations.
Look at that. This is very Toronto, by the way. This is very Toronto. That my son went to the same school as his great great grandmother. Yes. That is very, very Toronto. Eitz Chaim.
How long has the school been there?
Over 100 years.
Like my aunt was like the first.
So it's an old school.
That's not true. Flatbush is almost 100 years old.
Why
you?
Why is a difference?
Why is the oldest yeshiva in America open in the 1880s? No, not just the college, all the parts of it.
MTA as well?
MTA is newish. Yeah, but the yeshiva Eitz Chaim, as it started.
High school's the first in Florida.
Anyways, right there.
Okay. Or 7D.
Okay, guys, let's continue. So the Meiri, look at number 4. The Meiri wrote a book, Kiryat Sefer, about these types of issues, and he writes. So he says, V'lo mechuvar. It's not clear. Sherei af kutzo shel yud. Who nifsal? Kol shekem nikev ben regel asmali ben regel yimani ma ben zelzeh. Said if you're missing the coach of the yud, it's invalid. So obviously, if there's a hole in it, tochohu agvel. He goes through all the different things. What exactly are all these? And again, if you want, we can go through each little detail.
Why it differentiate? Like why it doesn't differentiate between a yud and a normal letter?
So he says here. The inside is the parchment. As long as the hole doesn't hit the letter, it's kasher. Its leg, who is a regal shabbat, hang yamini and smali, the right or the left. There are two descriptions of fixing it. Aleph, nishtayer bo kumlo od ktana. Right, the first rule is a letter is kasher as long as what is left to the letter is the size of a small letter. Okay?
Like a yud.
Yeah.
That means the entire yud.
We'll leave that for a moment.
Okay.
We'll see what it might mean.
Because the entire yud.
Vasheni, right, the second is, kol dianuka delochachem velo tipesh karoke tikno. Right, the second standard that the Gemara offers is the little kid can read it. V'nir'in ha'dvarim al shnei tikunim elu sh'al shnei minei nikavim hein. It seems like these two standards refer to two different types of holes, two principles. U'shneim shavin bein b'sefer Torah bein b'tfilin u'mezuzah. This is true of sefer Torah, tfilin, or mezuzah. Ela sh'al sefer yesholech sh'abitliyah bein echite v'yigrod et sh'bifnim legamrei. Except there's different ways of being metaking them. Okay, fine. We'll come back to that. Skip down to the to utchila, the next line. Utchila dibro benekev. If you want to get better at Hebrew, look inside. Utchila benekev. Dibru benekev sheivsik svat rachav haregel shehi ava. V'nikev miksatzo mitzad rochbo, b'svat harochav, aval arko nishar kayam mitzad roch rachav atzad acher, v'ka'amar shemeachar shenishtayer b'arko b'lo nekev, b'lo oktana, ratzolmer daka k'gonva b'lo yod k'shira, shevasa regal mitchilato dak kasher. Says there's two ways that you could cut the letter. Make a hole in the letter. How could you make a hole in the letter?
In the middle of the
length, width. By what? Length or width? Said oktana. Right. What does it mean to share oktana? He says, let's say you take a letter and you cut off part of it. Right. You cut it. You make it thinner. Right. You don't cut it. Right. You cut it. You decrease its width. So there, what is the standard? Nishtayer bo oktana. As long as it's the size of a thin letter, of a small letter. How does he understand that? He says, look, a yud. a vav. You can make them thin, you can make them thick. Right? So as long as, how does he understand the principle that left oktana? It means that if it is still the size that would have counted as a letter, so just because you wrote a thick vav doesn't mean that if part of that vav gets cut out, erased, but it still looks like a vav.
Yeah, but if you have a resh that looks like a vav.
That's not what he's talking about. He's saying you cut off part of the width. Right? He's saying you can have, as he said, if a resh, if the thinness of the, as long as it's, right, it's plausible. Like you could make a letter at that width, even if it originally started wider, then it is kasher. So the Meiri says this principle that the Gemara introduces of Nishtayer bo oktana, what does it mean? That means if the hole, if the cut, if the erasure in the letter is in the width, then how do you know that the letter is kosher? As long as
it looks like a
vav. As long as if you had written a letter, like a vav, let's say, at that width, that would have been kosher. Then it remains kosher when part of a letter gets erased. Right, and now it's not as thick as it was before, but it could have been that thin.
So a resh has to still look like a resh, or...
Correct, but the even though before it was thicker, if now it's thin, but like I could write a vav with that thickness, and it still looks like a resh, it's just a thinner resh.
So he's not saying that a resh could look like a vav and still be kosher.
No, that for sure not.
Okay, that's why I was...
No, no, what he's saying is that since you can write letters that are thin...
Right.
So he said standard one in the Gemara. He said there are two rules. Rule one in the Gemara that it says is something is kosher if nishtayer bo ka'ot ktana. It still has the size of a small letter. He says that means that if a hole develops in the width of the letter, as long as that letter could have been written that way, right? That's essentially what the rule means. Then it is kosher despite the fact that it is now a much thinner letter than it was
before.
V'achar kach, and then he says three and a half lines from the bottom. V'achar kach dibro b'shenike b'emtza haregel ad shenivsak harel sido ha'elyon min ha'tachton. Said the readability standard talks about not where you lose width, but you break it where? Daniel, you break it where?
Like on the side part. Like
no, he doesn't. Not that side, because we just did that side.
Oh.
If you break it down the middle, right? Like somewhere in the letter, right? In the middle of the letter, you break it.
Or the top and the bottom.
Like where it connects.
Wait, why can't it be the like length meaning like
the like, bottom? You don't, right? You don't take the ratio and make it thinner. Like you cut a line through it, and now the top seems not to be connected to the bottom.
And that helps how?
That doesn't help anybody. That's bad.
Wait, right? There's thinner this way, and then there's thinner this way.
No, there's thinner, and then there's a cut. Right? Think about it.
I'm saying
you can thin out
like,
the letter, but if you go this way, you crush through the letter.
There's width. Like you could have like a line.
So he says, look,
or
says like be'emta regalach and nivsakarel sidel ha'alyon min ha'tachton. Right? Just read it. The top is split from the bottom. That's what he means. V'tikun ze talui k'she'enek ivda kol kach she'en hefsek monea ha'kriya mtukenet l'tinok beinoni. And he says, here's the rule. When does the readability standard become important?
When it's one letter.
When it's a full letter.
With a hole in it. Because why? Go back to what we've been saying. What happens if Dov looks at a letter, an Aleph, that happened to have an erasure through the middle? What would Dov look at that Aleph and say it is? An Aleph. Why would he do that?
Because
Dov is a smart person and an adult, and he looks at it and he can say, hey, I can tell that was supposed to be an Aleph. What happened in the middle? I don't know, but I know this is supposed to be an Aleph. Right? So what's the standard for the Meiri? The Meiri is if I take a child who is not going to jump to conclusions and instead he's going to read what is in front of him on the page. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if the break, the hole in the middle, is insignificant such that even a kid who's not jumping to conclusions knows that's still an Aleph, then it's an Aleph. But if the kid who's not jumping to conclusion looks at it and says, that looks like I don't know, a V in an upside down V or something like that, I don't know, right? Then it's not readable anymore, so it's not Aleph. So the Meiri says there's two standards. When we talk about the form of the letter, right, you need to maintain the thickness of a letter. That's when the letter has its full integrity. It's just been thinned out. And now the question is, how do I know that it actually is still a letter? It's if I had written a letter of this thinness to begin with, would that have counted? If the answer is yes, then this is just a thin letter. But there the question isn't about readability, because fundamentally it looks like a resh. The only question is, am I allowed to write it that way? Right? The standard of readability is when the integrity of the letter has seemingly been violated, so to speak. Right? Meaning it is broken. Right? Not thinned out. Broken. And then the standard is what? The standard is, how do I know whether a letter is broken is in fact still considered a letter? And the answer for the Meiri is?
If it can't correct.
Readability, right? The kid is the one who's going to tell me if the letter itself is readable, not the context. Right? But the standard is readability.
Isn't it? I don't understand, because there's also halakhic implications into how the letter should be written as well.
Correct. But he's saying if it's so thin that nobody, even a kid doesn't notice it, meaning he knows this is an aleph, then that hole is insignificant. Right? That's what he says. Right? He says, look at it. He says, right, if the hole is so thin that it doesn't prevent reading, for a right middling child, right, an average child, if he's really smart like Dove, then he knows what it's supposed to be. He knows about it. Empty page. If he's stupid, no, it doesn't matter, he'll look at it. It's the number 4, right? Sharuach kimashavarto, right? He said more than that. He says no, right? People who are really, really aren't that smart yet, right? The slight rave is not perfect, right? You know, like little kids sometimes, right? They'll look at something. It looks to you like it's. They'll do this with everything, right? Here's a cookie. It's broken. It's not broken. Look, there's a crumb missing. It's not a full cookie. And they'll throw a tantrum. You know what I'm talking about? So he's like, don't get a kid who's like that with letters, right? It's not an aleph. It's an aleph. There is a tiny little hole. I see it. I see it, right? It's not there. It's there.
I feel like your son would do that when it comes to letters. Like, it doesn't look like an aleph.
You have kids like that, right? They're very minyuk. He said, v'hefset mu'ud mifal below. It'll confuse him. I will call Shatinuk Beinoni. As long as the kid is, you know, average. So then, Karotik Digno ain't got headset turned out. As long as an average kid who's not too smart, who understands context, and not, you know, yeah.
What if the kid says, I think it looks like this?
So that's probably fine, right? If you ask him, what do you think that is? What? I mean, as long as he can do it, as long as you get the right kid, and he looks at it and says, I think that's an aleph, right? That's fine. Aleph, hey, Reish, I don't know, whatever.
It says it looks like a vein, it's supposed to be an aleph.
If he says it's supposed to, it looks like a bays. If it's a bays, you're good to go. If
it's not a bays, then it's a problem.
Yes, right.
What if he says, I can't tell if this is a bays or a cock?
That's a problem. That's a problem. That's when we call on the kid, right? The kid.
No, what if the kid says that?
That's a problem, because it's not readable. That's the point. So that's possibility two, right? Possibility one is that these are two sides of the same coin, right? That's the Urayim, which is things are readable if they're written properly. If they're written properly, they're readable. Those are just two ways of saying the exact same thing. The Meiri says, no, these are completely different things, right? The form of the letter, right? Nishtar Bokhtana matters if it's been thinned out. Then, the integrity of the letter is there. The only question you have to ask is, would you be allowed to write it this way originally? If the answer is yes, because it's the size of an oksana, so then it's good. But if it's broken in the middle, so now the question is, right, is it readable such that the hole, the break in it, is legally insignificant? And how do I tell that? By putting a child in front of the letter to read it, not contextually, but simply what's on the page. That's the other extreme, right? Now, the Meiri is very clear. I hope you've noticed how clear the Meiri is, right? He's very clear what these two things are.
Very enlightening.
What does it mean for a letter to be thinned out? As in, like, you wrote it and it was just really thin?
No, you wrote it and then some of the ink got, all right, there's a hole, and it thinned out. So there the shear is, if the size is nishtar ba'oktana, meaning had I written this way originally, right, it would have been fine. The fact that it was much thicker doesn't matter as long as what remains is plausibly a letter. That's two. Look at number two, at the Mordechai. This time I made it a little bit easier for you, because last time I just said, look at the Mordechai, and none of you managed to, you know, find your place in that massive Mordechai. So here's the part of the Mordechai I wanted you to look at. Okay, let's try this again. Let's see how well you guys pay attention. Because this I told you only like 2 days ago. Who is the Mordechai? Where is he from? Daniel, Mr. Sofer.
He is the guy.
Very nice offer. Mordechai, very good. Where's he from?
Germany.
Very good. What's his father's name?
I don't know.
Hillel. He's a student of?
The Rush.
No. Him and the Rush are students of? Rami Rittenberg. Yay! Hey, we're getting there. By the end of the year, you'll get this. Very good.
And the Rush is also Tom.
That's what I just said. The Rush and Mordechai are Tommy the Rami Rittenberg. Very good. Okay, good. Yay! Okay.
I do listen.
What?
I do listen.
I know. Look, I don't expect you to take notes on it. I expect that eventually you'll just get to know these people. Right? Like, who are these people? People I want to be friends with.
Yeah, they're my guys.
Right? They're wonderful. I want to be friends with them. One thing said about Maram Mirtenberg, though all the stories we have of him are very intense, so who knows. That's not the only ones.
The
other famous story of the Maram Mirtenberg, which is quoted in the Rishonim already, was that that he had a suffix about whether a Talmud Chacham, who is a bigger Talmud Chacham than his father, whether his father has to show him respect or he has to show his father respect. And he was so paralyzed by the suffix that once he got to that state, he tried never to see his father again so that he wouldn't have to be stuck in this weird halacha conundrum. So that sounds very intense to me.
How about they just both respect each other and that's it?
Whatever. Anyways, sure. I hope this story never happened. Anyways, wow. So the Mordechai says in...
That's disrespecting his father.
Okay. The Mordechai says as follows in number two. Mikan hora Rabbeinu Eliyahu beget shahaya dalid shal kedat domet liyud. Right, so he was dealing with a get, Rabbi Eliyahu. He had a dalid in the get, in the word kedat, right, like the law of, which looked like a yud. So he said, Lavi tinok v'kara kedat v'hichshir. So he called a child. This is what you want to do. You want to bring a child into the courtroom when someone's getting divorced. That's really a great idea. Always do this. Keep your 5-year-old child around to watch divorces. It's great outings. Don't. If you didn't catch the sarcasm, don't do it. Watching Gittin really is not a fun experience. I've done that several times. V'ichshir, and he said it was kosher because he read it right. So now he distinguishes not between the type of break in the letter, but the type of letter. And he says, my sofrim, there are two different types of letters. There are what are called otiot pshutot. Right, what's an ot pashut?
Simple.
What does simple mean?
Easy to write.
So, why is it simple?
It's really easy. It's like,
it's not easy. It's because it's
small. Like, I'm the first one.
It's hard to mess up.
No. It's this is simple in the sense the opposite of
easy to tell whether it's written wrong or right.
Simple, not the opposite of complex. Simple, the opposite of compound.
It's one.
Correct. It's not constructed of other letters, right? Right. For example, give me a non-simple letter. Give me a compound aleph. Letter. Hey. An aleph. What is an aleph made up of?
Yud and vav.
What? What is an aleph made up of? Two yuds and a vav. Right. What? Yeah. So and upside down yud. Yeah, we got it.
Shin is.
Oh, shin is.
So complicated.
Good. What's a chet?
Two zions.
Right.
Also, mem is kind of like a valve in a
simple format as opposed to other.
Simple as opposed to compound. I mean, you could also say complex in this sense, but right.
Tough.
Or maybe it's better to say elemental, right? Versus.
It's still a big word.
You know how like the elements versus compounds? Elements?
Yes, no, I got that.
Right?
I got
meaning that. Non-compound, okay?
No, yes, no, I got it. It's still a big
should word. Should I do fine. Let's do this very, very descriptive. Letter which is not made of other letters versus letter made of other letters, okay? Fine? Compound versus simple, right? Elemental. So he says, Oth yod pshutot. She'en lam ela yerech echad kagon yod zayin nun pshuta. Right, vav zayin yod nun pshuta. He said, let me give you an example. A yod, a vav, a zayin, a nun pshuta. What's a nun pshuta?
A nun sofit.
A nun sofit, thank you. A nun sofit, which is a nun pshuta. Those, so he says it's very simple. I inkavu o isik, ein shiarayab oktana, ela beheker tinok. He said, what does the principle, right, for myself, from this is important for you to know. He says, what does it mean? He says, when we talk about nishtayar bo ka'ot ktana, you know what that means? That's talking about what? Compound letters. When we talk about readability, what are we talking about?
Elemental
letters. Why? Because elemental letters are not made up of any parts.
Right.
So how do you know whether that letter is the right letter? What do?
You read it.
You bring a kid and you say, can you read that letter? And if he says it's a vav, it's a vav. If he says it's a yod, it's a yod. If he says it's a nun, it's a nun. If he says it's right, nun sofi, it's a nun sofi.
Oh, and if he does it, he can't.
But if it's a compound letter, right?
It's made up of different letters, so he could say,
el ve'ekir tinogu, chim lo tibesh. Remember, gabone, v'adir abba, lim lo nisha, el kashir, yod pasul, v'kol abaz, yachol yod pasul, hod afil, kari le tinogu, lo chachim, lo tibesh. Right, and he says, if there's nothing left to the letter, then nothing is going to help you. Right? Right? If the kid can look at it and said, that was once a yud. Right? It doesn't matter if there's nothing left. Right? Aval Bashir Ot Yud. What is the principle of Nishtayar Ot Ktana?
No, wait, wouldn't.
What's that? What does Nishtayar Ot Ktana mean? Right? He says, right? She said, what is this principle? Let's come back to that in a second. Well, so what does he say? Right? He said, readability is about simple letters. It's true for everything. Obviously, if a yud doesn't have the size of a yud left, it's puzzle.
Right.
But that is the second principle. The second principle is a yud. One is about size. Right. The other is about a letter that has no components to it. Right. Is it a simple letter? The way you figure out whether it's that letter is whether it's readable. But an aleph, right? It might be that a kid could look at it and figure out that it's an aleph because, like, there's a thing in the middle and there's a.
But if it's still missing part.
But if one of the component letters, right, is not there,
then it's puzzle.
Then it's puzzle because it's right. It's missing. So he's going in a similar direction to the Meiri, right? Which is but different, right? Which is he says there's a difference between compound and simple. Simple letters. I mean, obviously, lo nishtayar bo koktana, it's puzzle, right? Meaning the simple letter, if it's not big enough, it's puzzle. That's obvious, right? But fundamentally, the way you figure out whether a simple letter is a letter is, does a kid look at it and say, that's a vav? But a compound letter, in addition to that, you got to figure out, maybe he can figure out what it is. But it has constituent parts, and each part must have its own integrity. And nishtayar bo koktana means that each component needs to, right, be sufficiently large as to qualify such that this letter is now made up of the proper components. And then Mordechai introduces yet one more principle, which is, this is from the Gemara in Shabbos that we saw. He said, so one rule is readability. One rule is in compound letters, right? Is each component right there? The third is...
No, I'm saying, where do you
this, right, all of these are what I would say positive rules, right? Meaning it must be readable, right? It must have enough space left. But there's also a way of knowing whether a letter is negative negatively, which is, it's possible negatively, which is, does it look like another letter? Right? That's the Zion, Nun Zion, right? At which point, right? So that's another way of knowing it, right? There's positive readability, right? Can a kid tell what it is? And then there's, will you confuse it with something else? If it looks like something else, it's also invalid. Now, the Prima Gadim, right, raises something which might be similar to Mordechai, but he's slightly different, maybe. And he says as follows. He said, Bipshutot, right, he's building on the Mordechai, but anyways, look at three. He says, Ubi'inan Yenuka, Dlochachim Velotipesh, Yeshbokamadinim. This halacha of the child has many halacha. He said, Bipshutot, Vadai Mahani. If it, by a, right, a Pashut letter, a Vav, a Yod, a Nun Sofit, as long as the kid can read it, it is kosher. Ein tzarich l'tagim kol shemesuvakan lano v'yakorik v'tzarich korik kitzurata. As long as he can read it, it's kosher. Right? The fundamental rule by Vavs and Yuds is readability, because it's not made up of different parts. Right? Aval imbarur lano shein tzurata lelo mahani kriyato. But he just clarifies. But remember, let's say an adult looks at it and says, right, sometimes you have the opposite problem. It's a kid will look at it and say, that's an aleph. An adult will say, no, it isn't.
Yeah.
Right? So that's obviously not kosher. Right? I mean, we say a kid is that even a kid will understand what that is. Right? Not like, you know, sometimes you get the opposite problem. Right? Kids will be like, my imaginary friend is here. And they'll be like, no, he isn't. Yes, he is. My, right? You don't want the imaginary letters. He says, Uvisharo did mahani tinak with takain, glolavish lokazirna valtikun. Boy. Now he has a slightly different spin on it. He says, look, by yuds and vavs and nuns, as long as the kid can read it, it is fully kosher. By other letters, it's not. If it's readable, right, now this is where he seems to take the Mordechai, but he makes, and this comes back to our fundamental distinction before. Remember we said, what is the biggest, in writing a Sefer Torah, what's the biggest difference between whether something is a non-letter or a puzzle letter? Remember what rule we said? Kesidron. Right? Is this going to make a problem in the obligation to write a Sefer Torah in order? So he says, which of these rules is about it being puzzle, and which of them is it about, is it about being just not kosher? So he says, look, by a vav, if it's readable, then it is fully kosher. But let's say by an aleph, it's readable, but there's really missing a constituent part. So you know what he says? Readability determines what?
Kesidron.
Meaning, as long as a child can read it, it is a letter. It may not be a kosher letter. Right? The question of Nishtar Ba'oktana, does it have all its parts? That's about whether it's kosher for Sefer Torah. Whether a kid can read it is, it's a letter at all. And therefore, if a kid can read it, but I can look at it and say, but yeah, but there's a part that's missing, so then I can go back and fix it. Why? Because readability makes it that it is an aleph, and the fact that it might be missing a small part of it makes it that it's an aleph that needs fixing. But if it's not readable, then it's a non-letter. Okay. Now, if you look at number 5, the Beit Yosef notes from Tosvos, that if a Dalet looks like a Yod, that Tosvos says that if a Yod looks like a Dalet, or a Dalet looks like a Yod, rather, if the kid can read it, it is kosher. The Beit Yosef...
Yeah, but if it reads it as a Yod...
Right, but Tosos, right, quotes the Mordechai saying this, but he says, I don't think this is true.
Yeah,
right, if it really looks like another letter, it doesn't matter. That was what we just saw in the Prima Gadim.
Right.
Then he quotes the Meiri.
So he could read it as a Yod, but...
Okay, now, here's just a technical point I wanted to bring from the Beit Yosef. Right? So... He quotes our sugya, and he says that, right, if you remember, Tosfos, Rashi Tosfos had said, why do I bring a kid Dov, why do I bring a kid who is lo chacham velo tipesh? Right, in the case of the Vayaharog in our Gemara. What does he say?
That the, if the kid, you don't bring a smart person because, a smart kid because if they can recognize Vayaharog as being
good.
Yaharog is being mistaken, that's Vayaharog, and then not a stupid person because they're not able to read.
Perfect. So now the Beis Yosef picks up on something very sharp, which is, wait a second, I have a better solution for you. Right? Well, this is the implication. He said, what's clear from Rashi? How much of the letter or how much of the word do we show the kid?
The whole thing. That's the point. Wow. He has to know all that.
Right? I show him the whole word. Right? How do I know I'm showing the whole word? Right, because I'm worried that he's going to be, right? So Beis Yosef is medayik from here. Number five at the end, he's what you learn from here is that you're allowed to show him the whole row. Right? Right, because he's allowed to look at context.
Because, right,
right, meaning, think about it. What Rashi is saying is that he's going to read the phrase. Right, he needs to at least to say, by Aroga, right, Hashem kol b'chor, right, he needs at least those words to figure out that it.
What's that saying? Is that saying that the kid might end up reading the context?
No, meaning he's saying it's clear. So now the question then becomes, okay, so why do I need a kid? I have a better solution. Bring an adult and...
Get them to don't show the context.
And don't show the context. Good, tell me why that doesn't work.
We said a kid's not supposed to know context.
No, we want a kid who doesn't understand context, because clearly he's looking at the context, because otherwise we wouldn't be worried of him interpreting it. If you were just showing him the yod, he wouldn't be, even no matter how smart he is, he couldn't figure out the context.
But that's the point. He's just supposed to know the letter, not the...
Correct, but that means he's looking at the whole thing. And that's why you need a kid who won't understand the context, even if he's looking at it.
So I still don't understand what's the point of showing him the context.
Oh, good. So the Beit Yosef says, clearly you're allowed to show him the context. So now tell me. So why don't we just have a different solution and say, forget the kid, bring Daniel to look at the letter, and just... hide the whole thing and just let him see the letter and ask him, what do you see? Why doesn't that work?
Because an adult probably knows the context.
Wow, you judge people favorably. I have no such high hopes that everyone here knows the whole Torah and knows exactly what they're looking at.
You know what the parsha is? You know what the Leah
is? It's a much easier answer.
Back then we all knew how to write.
It's a much easier answer, people.
Oh, you can be convinced.
What letter are we talking about?
Yud.
Good. If you look at a yud, do you know what it is right away? No. No, because a yud and a vav and a nun sofit, right? They all more or less look alike. How do you tell which one's which?
By the next letter.
By the next letter, by seeing size. Right?
Right?
Meaning you have to show them the rest because.
So, yeah, but then that is show an adult word.
But once you're showing the word. Now, of course, the other practical problems is maybe it's a small writing, right? It's very hard to do that, right? Meaning the answer that all the Acharim give is there's all types of practical solutions you can come up with of why it's very hard to show the letter, right? Either it's just hard to show the one letter, or you need to be able to gauge based on other letters, right? Not context, like meaning
the
context.
The point is that you don't want him to know what it's supposed to be.
But you want him to know. No, but a yod and a vav, it's not about the missing meaning, right? They are actually written similarly.
Yeah, but the kid is supposed to know what that letter is.
Only correct.
If it's a yod, and it's if
he reads not by interpreting meaning.
But I understand.
No. There's a difference between interpreting meaning and interpreting size comparison.
If he reads it as a yod and it's supposed to be a vav, then obviously it's possible. If he says, oh, that looks more like a vav than a yod, even if he doesn't know the next letter, then it's
yeah, but in order to figure that, you need to be looking at, like, the average size of letters, right? You can't always tell.
Why does it make a difference? If I ask you,
okay, here's the example in English, okay?
Yeah.
I show you an O, yeah. And I tell you, is that a capital O or a lowercase O? Just an O. What are you going to tell me?
I'm going to say whichever one it looks more like to me. If it looks like a capital
O. No, they look the same.
That's not true.
There's no point arguing about this.
They're just circles.
The kid is going to say that this looks like... No, Rebbe, the kid is going to say... Rebbe, no, but the kid is going to say this looks like a yud. It doesn't matter what the next word letter is.
That's not true.
The kid is going to say it looks like a yud to me. How does it make a difference?
How does he know if it's yud or a vav?
He knows what a yud and a vav is. He knows what they both
look. They look almost the same. You detect
that's how that's why it has to stop.
No, because that's not called making a mistake, right? He doesn't know how big the letters are supposed to be. Remember we looked where's the Aleppo Codex page?
Nothing.
Someone have the Aleppo Codex
look
page.
Look at that. Does that look like a Yod or a Vav?
If you write Hayom, I'm just sure.
Where's the Aleppo Codex page?
But it's a hand. I see that.
I would say to
you. No, it's not. That's
not because I saw the next
one. Wait, who has does anyone have the Aleppo Codex
page? See how similar those shapes are? If he didn't know the size of the letters around it, he would not be able to tell if that's a Yod or a Vav or if that's a Yod or a Vav.
You could, but then you're already running right, you're running into danger that maybe an adult will figure it out by the word, right? I mean, the more you show the adult, the more likely it's going to be a problem, right? The point is that it's very hard to just isolate a letter. Now, again, it could also be that it's practically hard.
Now what does it look like?
First of all, they're written different. They're written pretty differently.
Here. Here. In the Aleppo Codex. Do you see that Yod and Vav? Do you say you might get...
Nakam, now...
Look at those first two.
Yeah, they're written different. They're written different. They are written pretty different. Nakam.
Look at the first two letters.
They look pretty different.
Do you see
them? They're literally the same letters.
They're the same thing! They're the same thing!
What is half the length of the other, though?
If you had just that letter, you would not be able to tell.
That's a Vav. You just proved it once.
Thank you! And... Q-E-D. Q-E-D. Oh my god!
What?
It's like, basically like, I just proved this. Like,
is that a Toronto thing?
No, it's like... Toronto.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing because I've got no clue.
No, Q-E-D is what you put at the end of a mathematical or philosophical
If you
group.
Want to impress your teacher... Basically.
Look,
I did that on my exam. I just said QED after all the ones that I knew were right. And then
which one? No, the best, is to put them after the ones you did wrong.
Yeah.
And then she marks it wrong.
It's like, according to this...
Look, see, it comes up on Wikipedia. There's not a Toronto thing. Look, QED.
It's like some...
Quad erat demonstratum.
Okay.
Which means, what was to be shown? Right? Means proven.
I'm just curious.
I'm telling you, though, any math test, just put it at the end of each solution. And I'm like, wow, this kid's super genius. I mean, you need to look at his thing, and he's automatically right.
I did that in high school. It's fun. I remember once on my Gemara test, I answered the question using the word supererogatory, and. What?
Wait, this was in high school?
10th grade. The question, it was a question from Gemara in the ninth parak of Bava Kamma, where the answer in the Gemara is that he acted lefnim mishurat hadin. Now, the fancy English word for going beyond the letter of the law is supererogatory, right? Is acting beyond the letter of the law, is acting in a... Right? So I answered this, and I got it right. And then I asked him, do you know what it means? He's like, no, but I figured if you're using that, you definitely knew what the answer was to that.
So you're saying, all throughout high school, I could just use a random big word that no one knows.
Yes.
And I would have gotten it right.
Yes.
I've
known people to do this on tests. They just use really big words and they get it right. Because the teacher doesn't bother looking, trying to figure out whether you know what you're talking about.
Sometimes I have to use big words that I don't fully understand to make myself sound more photosynthesis.
See, the problem is if they know even once what you're doing, they'll realize what you're doing, right? If you start.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you gotta be careful.
Yeah.
You gotta do.
Now, it happened to be the word supererogatory was the correct answer to the question. This wasn't me trying to
do what it meant.
No, also today,
I did also know what it meant.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it was weird. It was like I had friends who were like, you know, philosophy people in college that used the word supererogatory. So yeah, when I was 15, I used the word supererogatory every so often.
How do you remember what you did in high school? That's the better.
You don't remember your high school?
How do you remember that it was ninth?
I had this discussion with Lichter like a few days ago. He asked me a question. I was like, oh, that was where I just getting talked about on the first day of ninth grade. And I just gave him the first
that's
day of ninth
year.
Great times. Good times.
I remember a slight bit from grade 11.
In ninth grade, on August 28th, on September 15th, at 11:30 p.m., the rabbi said this word.
Okay, guys, now we've seen the three positions in the Rishonim. Wow, I did put a lot more on this. Who knew? No, these are actually the main positions, right? After this is sort of fleshing it out a little halakhically, but now we can go back. Remember, we came into this because we're talking about the different types of invalidations you can have in a letter.
Right.
Right? So now we've examined this one, the readability one, and whether, in fact, readability is a quality at all, right? We saw that according to the array, and readability is just another way of saying it has the proper form of a letter. But now we've introduced, right, the possible differences between when we care about readability and when we care about form, etc. Right? And that we can finish the Rav piece. Hopefully, I guess on Sunday we'll finish this piece in the Rav and finish these sources. You don't have to read through all of it, right? Meaning I gave you the summary lahalacha shulchan aruch just to understand how it comes out. Read as much as you can, and then I guess Monday then we'll do Mukav Gvil. Right, which is what we skipped through, which was right another invalidation is missing the space on the parchment, right? And then we'll go through the Tagan Sugya quickly, probably in a day or two, and then we'll see. Decide how much of the Sefer Torah stuff you want to do, when you want to skip to Tfilin, Tittus, right? Decide, and we'll figure it out. Okay.